Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, shalom, family, grace and peace.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, shalom, family, shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Grace and peace in Jesus.
How is everybody this evening?
Pretty good, pretty good. It's a blessing.
I was about to say, what? No answer. Amen, amen. Good evening, Sister Shemaiah.
Grace and peace.
Hello,
amen.
Family. Hello, family.
Hello, Sister. Hello, Sister Mary.
Hey, Sister Mary.
How you doing, Sister Rachel? Sister
Jemiah. Well, Sister Jemiah said, hello, Sister Mary.
Until I said shalom.
Well, I said shalom, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, family. Test 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me?
Nope.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
Amen.
Amen.
We hear you loud and clear. All right, well, look, let's get started. First of all, I'm going to say shalom, shalom. Grace and peace to everybody. You're in the Wednesday night edition. You might as well say this is the Sabbath preparation of the preparation of the preparation of the Sabbath.
Amen.
In the midst of the week. What do you mean? Because it was this day that was kicked off the Sabbath day. What do you mean? It actually bring in a resurrection.
Amen.
So it's only fitting to say this is the preparation of the preparation of the preparation of the Sabbath. So praise God for that. And tonight we have our brother Nakomi Swanson of the Nation of Peace, a.k.a. Little Israel, a.k.a. Nehemiah Israel, a.k.a. Nehemiah Israel, from the Nation of Peace, bringing what that?
Kingdom, state of
kingdom.
Mind.
Kingdom. State of mind. Amen. So tonight precept is what is the Holy Spirit and more? You mean there's more? That's what I'm talking about. What is the Holy Spirit? Yet there's more. But wait. That's what's going on, man. I can't wait to hear this. So, look, we're going to turn this over to Brother Nehemiah Israel. and let him bring this precept of the nation of peace. Brother Nehemiah Israel, we are going to say the floor is yours. Oh, if you need a reader, I'm available.
Okay, you are Isaiah, whoever want to read.
Sure.
Okay. Well, with that, I'd like to say peace and shalom to everyone at the sound of my voice. Brother Nakamiah, Nakomi Swanson, Little Israel of the Nation of Peace, Israelites, Kingdom State of Mind, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Like Brother Joe said, the precept for tonight is, what is the Holy Spirit in more? But right now we're about to get started. So, reader, bring the scripture, and we're going to get started. Bring us a reading, and we're going to get started.
Yes, sir. Let me find something really, really decent and something really, really good. Okay. Ecclesiasticus 28, verse 15. A backbiting tongue hath cast out virtuous women and deprived them of their labors. Whosoever hearken unto it shall never find rest and never dwell quietly. The stroke of a whip maketh marks in the flesh, but the stroke of the tongue breaketh the bones. Many have fallen by the edge of the sword, but not so many have fallen by the tongue. Well is he that is defended through the venom thereof, who have not drawn the yoke thereof, nor have been bound by her bands. For the yoke thereof is a yoke of iron, and the bands thereof are the bands of brass. The death thereof is an evil death, and the grave were better than it. It shall not have rule over them that fear God, neither shall they be burned with the flame thereof. I read Ecclesiastes chapter 28:15-22. May the Father add a blessing to the reading and doing of his word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, some people saying, why is this called What is the Holy Spirit and More? Because we're going to find out what the Holy Spirit is. Some of us already know what it is. But in the world, there is a doctrine that the Holy Spirit is an entity. And we got to clearly break that down, that it's not, that the Holy Spirit is not an entity. Everything in creation has got a description in the scriptures, except for one thing, the Holy, so-called Holy Spirit. Here's a description of God the Father. Here's a picture. There's a description of Christ. There's the description of the angels. There's the descriptions of the angel, the devil. It breaks down the earth and the mountains and the seas. All these things, seen and unseen, are described except for one thing, and that's the so-called Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is an entity, why is it mightier than God that it has no description in the word? If it was an entity and so great, why can't we see what it is? It's the only thing you get to see. What the devil is, you get to see what the angels is, you get to see what Christ is, you get to see what the Father is, you get to see all these things. And then what? And if it does exist, what is his job? What is his job? Because most of the actions are done by Christ, the angels, and the servants of God. Tell me, when does this Holy Spirit actually do anything? So we're going to get into this. First scripture we're going to go into is 1 John 5 and 7. Because some things are worded in a way that people try to say, see, it's three of them when it's only two. So let's go in the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verse 7.
All First John chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one.
Stop. So this is where unlearned people get tripped up. He said these three are one. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So now, we got to break this down. The Father, the Son, and what the Holy Ghost is.
Amen.
The Father, we know who that is. That's God. This is the head of everything. This is God the Father. So that's why he's saying the Father of everything, the Father of all. Let's see what the Word is. Let's go with St. John's chapter 1 and 1. St. John's 1 and 1.
St. John chapter 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Stop. See? So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? It's telling you that the Word is a God, which is Christ. In the beginning was God and Christ. In our beginning, that we know of, it's not talking about anything else. It's referring to us. That's why God has even brought it to my attention. Guess what? When I'm dealing with the world about creation and stuff, and they come to me with dinosaurs and stuff like that, you know what I'm supposed to say? That's not concerning me. I need to know my past. I don't need to know about the dinosaurs' past. So when we're dealing with the Bible, when we read Genesis 1:1, we're dealing with us.
Amen.
We're dealing with our situation. We're not dealing with nothing before our situation. We got to understand that. Saying this book is meant for us. Dinosaurs can't read the Bible.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, they don't matter because he eliminated them from the whole situation, okay? Not DSA situation.
Wiped them out.
Mm-hmm. So why are they our concern anyway?
Hmm.
See, that's what I'm saying. Some things are distractions. Recently I had to get myself out of that because I was getting a little bit concerned trying to prove that God brought it to my attention. No, this ain't about them, this about y'all.
See that?
About y'all. You don't need to know about the dinosaurs. Say just like man going to the moon, but it's not our concern. Man going to space, it ain't really what we're supposed to be focused on, okay?
Amen.
So just because you know something exists, don't mean you're supposed to try to deal with it. So we have to understand things. I need to know about mankind, God and mankind. I don't need to know about the dinosaurs. It's not my concern. They're not even here anymore. We can never move. Us as a whole of people, as a nation, not even one country, can move to space. Why are we concerned with space? This word is written about our situation and our future situation, not the dinosaur. Our situation. So I had to be corrected about that in the spirit, that this whole thing is about our situation. And when it comes to the so-called Holy Spirit, we're still dealing with our situation. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was that. Okay, let's show you that who this Word is. Look, we're gonna keep. We're gonna keep on with this. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and 3.
Hebrews chapter 11.
11 and verse 3.
For by Hebrews chapter 11 and 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
See? See, through faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. The world was framed by let there be light. The words, by words. This is a word planet. Everything starts with words. Everything is about the word. Let there be light was the first commandment. Let there be light. God commanded that. This is a word planet. We're supposed to deal with things with the word. Christ expects us to deal with things like that. I'm saying we're supposed to be just like him when he was in the ship and it was going down. We're supposed to speak to the wind too. Peace be still. We're supposed to be able to speak to that. But you got to be rolling in the spirit to do these things. So he said the world. So he's talking about the other planets. All these things, all the future times to the past. He said all these things were framed. He said all of that. He said I frame these things.
Amen.
He framed the future. He framed the past. That's what I'm saying. Why you got prophecy telling us what's going to happen? Because he said this was framed from the word of God. So like I said, it's the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Let's get it simple and plain. Who the Word is. Let's go to Revelations 19 and 11.
Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
Okay, this just described Jesus then and told us one of his names, because he got many names, the Word of God. So in the beginning, it was the Word. That's just telling you that's Christ. So now we got two. We know that there's two. We know that there's Jesus, which is the Word, and we know that there's the Father. But then it's going to say this again, that some people get confused because some people believe that the Holy Spirit got power over God and Christ. You got to do things in the Holy Spirit. You got to speak in tongues with the evidence that you even got the Holy Spirit. Well, people go, yeah. There's no account in the Bible of Jesus speaking in tongues. So I guess he didn't get the Holy Spirit. He never did it. There's not one scripture showing you Jesus speaking in tongues. Not one. I didn't see Moses speak in tongues. I don't think I've seen King David speaking in tongues. I don't think I saw John the Baptist speaking in tongues.
Amen, bro.
So what you trying to say? They didn't have the Holy Spirit. The only person I know that's big in the Bible like that, that I know did it, is Paul, and he said it wasn't that important.
Right.
He said it was the least of the gifts. How can that house there, if that was the way to get the Holy Spirit, man, we all supposed to want the Holy Spirit, so how could that be the least of the gifts? If you, and the way you get it is through speaking in tongues. Guess what? That's because that's not true.
Amen.
That's doctrine of man. There's a Holy Spirit doctrine making him an entity just as great as God or Christ. But when you read the Bible, it don't give him that kind of glory ever. Like I'm saying, he don't get so glory that he don't get to do nothing, and he has no description. Even the devil got a description. Even the angel, he even gives a little look in on heaven. Now, he let us see something that we ain't never going up there, but he tells us what it's like, what it looked like. So why the Holy Spirit don't have no description? But let's continue in this. Let's continue this. Let's go into Matthew chapter 28 and 18.
Matthew chapter 28, verse 18.
Yep. 18. Go ahead, bro.
Matthew 28 and 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe.
Stop. See, here we go again. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Well, all of these is just titles. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all of them is just titles. Because, in order to get baptized, all of this stuff is going to be wrapped up in one name.
Amen.
There's only one important name. There's only one important thing to call upon in all creation, in all the universe. And the Holy Spirit does not trump that. You saying something in the so-called, and call it on the Holy Spirit, does not trump what's been established in the scriptures. Because nothing, we're going to find out, trumps the Father. Nothing trumps the Father. Let's go into Acts chapter 2:37. So he's going to show you what you get baptized in. Them just titles, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're going to see what it really is.
Acts chapter 2:37.
We get, brother, go ahead.
Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Stop. I didn't even see this, but now I saw this in it. He said we're supposed to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So, not Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but guess what it just told us? The Holy Spirit is a gift.
Amen.
Eliminates a person. God, you is in the lesson I see tonight. I didn't see that.
Amen, brother.
Say ain't no person. He says a gift.
What?
Read
gift,
it again.
Then Peter said
yep, read that, 38.
Acts 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Oh, that cancels person.
Huh?
Cancels person. I love it when God and Christ is in the lessons. Well, he jumped in this one. I didn't even see that myself till then. So this is like I said, and more. I guess that's some of the more God was wanted to reveal. So we see that you, when you get baptized, it's not Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's in the name of Jesus Christ. And he said, then after that, you receive the gift, not the person, the Holy Spirit. But he's going to reveal what this gift is as we go along. So we got to understand that this is the way that it goes. Let's get somebody that wasn't part of the 12. Somebody that wasn't part of the 12, let's see if he knew this. Let's go to Acts chapter 19:1. Let's see if Brother Paul understood this too, that you got to get baptized in Jesus Christ, not Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Almost, if you're a Christian, you definitely is a Paul person.
Pauline doctrine.
Yeah, and I'm saying, you're a Paul, okay? I'm saying, it's just like if you play basketball, he had a song, I Want to Be Like Mike. If you're a Christian, you definitely want to be like Paul. Because that's who they call on for everything. You definitely, Paul is the Michael Jordan of Christendom, okay?
Right.
Okay? He ain't trying to be they Michael Jordan. Not in the way that they want him to be, but this is who they lean on. So let's get this. Acts chapter 19:1.
Acts 19:1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he had said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism.
See, stop.
Yeah.
See, they putting too much into the person that was baptizing instead of Jesus. Because this whole situation is about God and Christ. That's why you got to do everything in the name of Jesus Christ. They too concerned Paul was a great prophet, so they was putting something in a person baptizing instead of what the real purpose of baptizing is, receiving these things from Christ. It's all about Christ. You giving all these things in Christ's name. It ain't about, I don't care how great the prophet is. That's why I tell people, I'm saying, don't be tripping on who baptized you, okay? They ain't got no power. You being obedient to the word of God, it said you must do this. Ain't got nothing about to do with the person that's putting you in the water. Nothing, zero. That's why, remember, John the Baptist didn't want to baptize Jesus, but Jesus said, no, do it, bruh, so we can fulfill all righteousness. It ain't about how great you is or how great I am. Ain't got nothing to do with that. But go ahead, bro. Read on.
Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12.
Now, Paul doesn't baptize 12 dudes, but guess what? Now they got baptized in what? The name of Jesus Christ. And guess what? They even spake in tongues. That didn't even happen to Jesus. So that's what we got to understand. There's multiple gifts. I think if Jesus wanted to do that, if he wanted to flex that, if that was important enough, he probably would have been mentioned. I'm pretty sure he could speak in tongues, but it wasn't important enough to anybody that was around him to read it. See, people, we got to think. Be in the spirit of, when you read, get in the spirit of what's going on.
Amen.
That gets you to exert everything that's going on. The spirit going, when you hear these things about Jesus, am I saying Jesus couldn't speak in tongues? No. It just according to the Gospels, the people that wrote the Gospels, it wasn't important enough to them to even say anything about it. Concerning Christ. And they said everything. They said you couldn't write everything he did. Christ had a short time. He had a 3.5-year window to do what he had to do. He probably was doing stuff every day. Ain't nobody finna write all that. Just like when Christ resurrected and was going for 40 days. Everybody couldn't write everything. He probably was doing something every day when he was walking on 40 days. So you got to get in the spirit. When you read, get in the spirit what's going on. Think more than the word. Take yourself in there. Implant yourself. Think about everything that's going on. Comprehend what's going on. These words, it will reveal more to you when you get into the spirit of it. That's why I don't read fast and I don't teach. I tell people to slow down. Read everything that's in front of you. Take your time. This is not the world where you got to read real fast to prove that you're smart. We trying to get understanding. This is the word of God. You got to take your time. God, our God is totally about processing. The world is microwave. God is a barbecue. It's going to take some time for you to get done. You ain't going to get done in 30 seconds. That's the world. So take your time and reflect. And like I'm saying, get in the spirit of what is going on when you read it. So Paul baptized these guys in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's show you why that is. Let's go to Acts chapter 4 and 10. Acts chapter 4 and 10. So if this Holy Spirit is so important, like I said, where is glory at? Where is his attributes at?
Nakama. Yes. Another important thing, too, is the tongues is a thing to point out, too. But it says that the Holy Ghost came on them.
That's right.
So that's something big, too.
Mm-hmm. That's because, like I'm saying, it's not a person. We're going to learn at the end what it is. Let's go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 10.
Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved.
Okay. If there's a Holy Spirit, he just got disrespected. He said, no name under heaven is higher than the name of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because that's the name of the Father. It means Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh our salvation. The Father. Like saying, that's why I say, ain't no name, ain't nothing above the Father. Everything is under him.
Amen.
And Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. That's why I'm saying, that's why that name is more important than anything. That's why when you say you deal with me in this name, because there ain't nothing higher than this in the English language. Because people, I do speak Hebrew, and I know there's some people that say, I got to say it, Yahweh or Ahawa, all kinds of stuff. but in the language of English, ain't no name higher than this. In the understanding in English-speaking people, there ain't no name higher than this. So the Holy Spirit, you can say, why is you trying to get a connection to something else besides Jesus Christ? You should not be trying to connect to anything else. Like I'm saying, if you go into heaven or the kingdom or whatever you call it, I hope you planning to see God in Christ. I hope you ain't expecting to see the Holy Spirit. I mean, you just made up another God. And we're gonna learn it's only two. It is not three. It's only two. It ain't three. Even though some things be worded in a certain way, like I'm saying, if you keep reading, it's going to explain itself. And like I'm saying, there's no evidence of another entity like them in the scriptures nowhere. There's nobody flexing in this Bible like God and Christ. No one is doing what they do in the angels. Like I'm saying, in the angels do a lot of stuff. There ain't no glory for nobody else to get in the prophets. There ain't no glory for nobody else to get. So let's get in this. This is one of them that get people. But like I'm saying, all they have to do is read and pay attention. But see, we got that doctrine so deep, people wanted the Holy Spirit to be a person so bad. They wanted to be an entity so bad. When you read in this book with understanding, you see there ain't no room for another God. Ain't no room for no another God. Let's go into St. John chapter 14, 26. St. John 14, 26.
St. John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things.
Stop. Right here, just show you the weakness of the Holy Spirit. He ain't got no respect. He the rightly danger field of spirits. And it's just what you just read. Let's break this down. Let's just break down what just been said. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, right? Okay. That's nice. Whom the Father will send. Oh, God is ahead of him, and he's going to be sent in Jesus' name. Where is respect at? The Father got to deal with him, and then he don't get to get announced. You got to deal. He said he got to deal in Jesus' name. But read on.
But the Holy Ghost, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
This is a mouthful right here.
Sir.
This is a mouthful right here, because he said he's going to bring everything to your remembrance, and he's going to teach you all things that I'm saying that he has told us. So let's go up. Let's go up, because Christ don't break this down. See, people want this Comforter thing to be so good. Yeah, they don't remember what they read right above that. Let's go into St. John's chapter 14 and pick it up at verse 14.
St. John 14 and 14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me.
Stop. He said, Christ just said, if you ask anything in my name, the Holy Spirit gonna do it.
Say, I will.
I would say, what in the hell does the Holy Spirit do? Christ is doing all the work, look like to me. When do this Holy Spirit flex his muscles? Tell me. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for him to do something. I want it to not be an angel. I'm waiting for it not to be Jesus, and I'm waiting for it not to be one of the prophets of God. When is he gonna do something? When is he gonna jump off the page and do something? Somebody tell me. I have never seen it. Ever. He never jumps off the page. For people that were not understanding, he kind of, but if you really understand and you read all the scriptures, you will see, no, he ain't never jumped off the page because he ain't there. But continue. Verse 15.
If you love me, keep my commandment, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever.
He said he's going to see you another comforter, when you pray to the Father going to give you the comfort is whatever you want, what you're asking for. And how is he going to deal with you with that? People, places, and things. He's not going to send no spiritual entity. He's going to deal with you how? People, places, and things. Read on.
Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive.
Stop. This thing is going to send you the spirit of truth. We're going to find out what that is in a second. But he said, he's going to send you the spirit of truth. Read on.
Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
Okay.
He said he's going to be in you.
We're going to deal with that later. We got to remember, the Holy Spirit is in you. Okay, we're going to find out what's actually in you. Read on.
I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while. The world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live, and ye shall live also.
Stop. 18. Now listen to what he said.
I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you.
Jesus Christ. Will come to you. Oh, that eliminated that comforter dude, whoever he was, didn't it? Just ended that conversation, didn't it? But see, people want to go down to 26. Oh, there go the comforter. No, he just told you. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to deal with you. People are dreaming for something else. When you just actually read, like my first teachers tell me, reading is an art and listening is an art.
Amen.
And a lot of us don't do that, either one. A lot of us don't listen, a lot of us don't read. But if we just clean our ears out and use basic comprehension, like I'm saying, you will clearly see that there ain't nothing else God in Christ. Like I said, he's going to give us the spirit of truth. He said, this spirit is going to give us the spirit of truth. Let's see what the spirit of truth is. Let's go to St. John's, just a couple pages over, 17 and 17.
St. John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
There goes the spirit of truth. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. What's the spirit of truth? Word.
The word.
See, ain't Christ the word? It only makes sense. Word is the truth. That's the spirit of truth. Without the word, you can't understand. You can't understand God without the word. This is the truth. That's why he said the word is truth, and he said the spirit of truth, right? He said he gonna send us the spirit of truth in St. John 14:17. Let's show you that the word is the spirit of truth. If you don't think it's not in the spiritual realm, well, let's show you that it is. Let's go to Romans chapter 7:14. Romans chapter 7:14.
Romans chapter 7:14. But we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin.
Oh, the law is the spirit of truth. Law is what?
Spiritual.
Spiritual. So didn't he say he's going to give us the spirit of truth?
Amen.
Then go to word. He said, but we sanctify them through thy truth, thy words. And you say, hey, you're going to spirit connected to what? The law. The law is part of the Holy Spirit. It's part of it. Because in order to even get in the water, you should have understanding before you even get in the water. You should have understanding about the word before you get in the water. I'm saying understanding the word, true understanding of the word, is part of the Holy Spirit. A part of it. So he's showing you right here. This is the words of God. It's spiritual. When you live in this word, you ain't living like a human. You ain't carnal. Like he said, I'm carnal, sold under sin. Saying when you're dealing with this word, you ain't carnal no more. You dealing on a God and Christ level when you perform this. When you perform this word, you was performing on a God and Christ level. But let's go back to 1 John chapter. I'm saying because it's going to say something else, and we're going to break this statement down. So let's go back to 1 John chapter 5 and 7. 1 John 5 and 7. The book of 1 John 5 and 7.
1 John chapter 5, 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one.
Okay. Oh, and listen. These three are, stop. These three are what?
One.
We got to deal with that statement right there. Let's go to St. John's chapter 17 and 18. St. John 17 and verse 18.
As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. For their sake I am sanctified. Forgive me. St. John 17 and 19. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one.
Stop.
I am them.
Stop. He just said a mouthful. He just obliterated the Holy Spirit right there. If you got true understanding. He just blew it away. Because we said, verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. So he said, we is one, the Father and the Son, that they also may be one in us. Where the Holy Spirit at? Why he part of this us? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. See, he talking about him, and then we're going to go on 22. In the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Where the Holy Spirit glory? He don't get no, we don't get none of his glory. Where he at? That they may be one, even as we are one. Okay. Where the Holy Spirit at? Why he ain't included in this? He's telling mankind, I want you to be like, want to be just like God in Christ. What happened to the Holy Spirit? Like I'm saying, I'm waiting for him to jump off this page, from these pages in the scripts, and it's not happening. I mean, I'm saying, people, well, am I saying something wrong? I'm not seeing him. He's not appearing. He's not appearing. But we're gonna get more to this. Let's go to Isaiah 44 and 6. Isaiah 44 and 6. When you get it, brother, go ahead.
Thus saith the Lord the God, forgive me, Isaiah 44 and 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God.
Stop. Now he just described something. Let's see how many he just described. And it's going to this. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer. So, people, how many is that? The King of Israel and his Redeemer. That's two. I'm saying, as the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and last, and besides me, he said, besides me and my Redeemer, there ain't no God.
Amen.
Said, besides us, and who is our Redeemer? Christ is the Redeemer. He came here to redeem. Okay. So he said, besides us, there ain't nobody else. Who else going to redeem you? Like I said, what the heck does the Holy Spirit do? If Christ is going to redeem me, then why do I even need him? I don't see a need for him even. That's it. Now it's so ridiculous. Why do I need him? I got Jesus. Jesus is the Redeemer. Okay, if he don't redeem me, why the heck I need somebody else? Why I need Jesus sidekick? See? This don't make sense to me. Don't make sense to me at all. Why I need to even deal, why I got to deal with anything else when I'm seeing Jesus flexing? I'm not seeing no Holy Spirit flexing. And then he said, we want to be like one, like him and the Father. He disrespects, like I said, the Holy Spirit is the Rodney Dangerfield of spirits if he exists. He gets no respect. He gets no respect if he do exist. So we got to understand that. Let's show you that God say this statement again. Let's go to Deuteronomy 32 and 39.
Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 39.
Mm-hmm.
Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. See now that I, forgive me, see now that I, even I am he. There is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand.
He said, I'm God, and there's no God with me. Just like he just told us in Isaiah 44 and 6. Ain't nobody with him except for who? The Redeemer. He said, besides us, ain't nobody else. He said, and who can't, he said, and gonna deliver out of my hand? Ain't nobody else can deliver you. So if you're calling on anything else to deliver you, like I'm saying, you out of pocket. You messing with a pretend God if you calling on something besides Jesus Christ. So we got to understand that. Now, we're going to go into the holy order of the universe and see if the Holy Spirit show in the holy order of the universe. Let's go into 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and 1. First Corinthians chapter 11 and 1.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ.
Stop.
Now I pray to you.
Stop. What did Paul say? Be ye followers of me, even as I am a follower of the Holy Spirit.
Of Christ.
Like I said, when is this Holy Spirit going to get his credit? When? But read on. He's going to get some more disrespect. We finna slap some more disrespect on him.
Now.
Verse 2.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinance as I delivered them to you. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God.
Stop.
Every man.
There go the holy order of the universe. He said, verse 3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Where the Holy Spirit in all of this order? Why is the Holy Spirit above us for us to obey him too?
Uh-oh.
See? He ain't part of the holy order of the universe. He ain't got no part of it. Like I said, he's getting eliminated more and more and more. But we're going to continue. We're going to show you another order of the holy universe. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. Revelation 1 and 1.
Revelation chapter 1 and 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw.
Stop. See, now he's showing you how messages get to you and how and when you pray, how that go. So now you know how your prayers work, how to get to God. Well, let's get this Revelation 101. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. So God gives the message to Christ to show unto his servants things which shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servants. So it goes God, Christ, angel, to you. So then let me know how my prayers go. My prayers go, I pray, angel get it, go to Christ, Christ go to Father. So tell me, now the angels is over the Holy Spirit. They at least in the order. like I said, he the Rodney Dangerfield of spirits. He get no respect.
Amen.
He get no, I'm saying, if the angel's doing stuff, Jesus doing stuff, the Father doing stuff, what part do he play in this? I said, I would see a role for him. He ain't in this movie. He ain't in this movie, y'all. He didn't make the cut. From what I'm seeing. See, so like I'm saying, we got to break this down in the minds of the people to understand. You praising another God if you believe in this Holy Spirit thing. But now we're going to get into another part, that things in the spiritual realm are described. Things in the spiritual realm are described. So let's go into Revelations 1 and pick it up at 13.
Amen.
Revelations 1 and verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
Revelations 1 and
13.
Revelations 1 and 13. And in the midst of the seven candlestick, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and a girt about his path with a girding girdle. And his head and his hairs were like white, like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when he saw him, forgive me. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last.
Stop. So we just got a description. I'm sorry, we just got a description of Christ in the spirit. But see, like I'm saying, what are we going to say? Everything that matters gets described in the scriptures. Everything does. So there go a description of Christ. Now, let's go to Daniel's chapter 7 and 9. Daniel's chapter 7 and 9.
Daniel's chapter 7, verse 9. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow. And his hair was, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands men stood unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened.
So now it's talking about the Ancient of Days.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Father. So it describes, okay, we got a description of the Son in the Spirit, got a description of the Father in the Spirit.
Amen.
So spiritual things are being described in the Bible. Let's show you something else spiritual that's described in the Bible, that's in the spirit realm, that's described in the Bible. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1. 1 and 4.
Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also, out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Everyone had four faces. Everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. And the sole of their feet was like the soles of a calf foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had in their hands, a man under their wings on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went, everyone straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion. On the right side, they four had the face of an ox. On the left side, they four had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces and their wings stretched upward, two wings of everyone joined one to another to cover their bodies. They went everyone straight forward, whether the spirit was to go. They went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. And like the appearance of lamps, and went up and down among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning.
Now we just got a description of the angels. Got spiritual Christ, got spiritual God. You know what I'm saying? And we got a description of the angels. Things in the spiritual realm are being described. Now we're going to show you somebody else that's in the Bible that's described in the spiritual realm. Let's go into Ezekiel 28 and 13.
Ezekiel 28, verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workman of thy tabret, of thy pipes, was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire.
Okay, now, description, we just got a description of the devil. So we got a description of God, we got a description of Christ, we got a description of angels, now we got a clear description of the angel, the devil. So we got this. We got these things coming down, showing us where is the Holy Spirit. The devil is even described. The angels are described. God the Father, okay, ain't nothing higher than him. So you trying to tell me the Holy Spirit higher than God, that he can't get a description in the scriptures? I think not. Nobody and more important than the Father. Even Christ said that. He said, why call me good? None God but good. No one good but God. So you mean tell me that the Holy Spirit is so great we don't get no description in the Word of God? And everything else does? See, mate, people, like I'm saying, he's getting eliminated. So now, let's show you what the Holy Spirit is. And the Bible won't tell you what it is. Because we got to remember a lot of things that were said earlier. Let's go into Luke chapter 3 and 21.
Luke chapter 3, verse 21.
Yeah, Luke 3 and 21. When you get it, brother, go ahead.
Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, and it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heavens was open, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven.
It said the Holy Ghost came down him like a dove on him, right? This is Luke's account, right?
Amen.
Okay, read on.
And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, thou art my beloved son, in thee I am well pleased.
Okay. So he called it the Holy Ghost. But we finna see, okay, now we're gonna read Matthew. And Matthew, he gonna word it like it should be worded. Let's go into Matthew 3:13. He gonna deal with the same account. And let's see what he said. Matthew chapter 3:13.
Matthew chapter 3:13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway. And Jesus, Matthew 3:16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo,
stop. What? You saw what coming down like a dove descending on him?
Spirit of God.
That's what the Holy Spirit is. It's the Spirit of God. But we're going to even get even deeper with the Spirit of God. It said the Spirit of God descended on him. That's not an entity. See, that's something sent from God. That's a power sent from God. That's what came upon him, not a person. But we're going to get, well, remember, when we read and St. John said that the Holy Spirit is going to be in you?
Yes,
well,
sir.
Let's see what's in us. Let's see what spirit is in us. Let's go to Matthew's. Chapter 10:16.
Matthew chapter 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, as harmless and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they shall deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for they shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you.
Okay, so you got the Holy Spirit and the Father in you. Which one is it?
The Lord, man.
If I got the Spirit and power of the Father, why do I need anyone else?
Huh.
Didn't he say the Holy Spirit going to be, said the Comforter going to be in you? It just tells you what's in you, the Spirit of the Father, the same thing that fell on Christ. That's what came. That's what came upon. That's comes upon you. That's what's in you. Like I'm saying, what does this Holy Spirit get to do? I ain't seen him do nothing yet. He's not described. He's not in the order of your prayers. He's not in the order of the universe. He ain't got nothing. I'm saying, I don't see no work for him to do. Everything you need, you can call on the name of Jesus. Why are we dealing with this?
Right.
Now, another thing we're going to deal with is this Holy Spirit, because they said the Holy Spirit, a lot of people say, in saying the doctrine, I said the Holy Spirit didn't come around until the New Testament. Well, I'm saying, now that we know the Spirit is the Spirit of God, let's show you that the Spirit didn't come around in the New Testament. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1 and 1. Genesis 1 and 1.
Genesis chapter 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Forgive me. Genesis chapter 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
Stop.
And God said,
Stop. The Spirit of God moved the same thing that Christ got baptized in, moved across this water in Genesis 1 and 1.
Same
See?
Principle.
Holy Spirit in the beginning. See, this Holy Spirit been around, we can see. But we're gonna see the prophets always talked about the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Psalms 51 and 11. Psalms 51 and 11.
Psalms 51, verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
See, King David knew about the Holy Spirit. See, this before the New Testament. He said, and he knew, don't take your Holy Spirit. He said, don't take thy Holy Spirit. See, we know this coming from him. This ain't no person. He said, hey, man, don't take that from me. He didn't say, don't take him. He didn't say, don't take him from me. He said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Not, don't take the or him or not. He didn't, no. I'm saying, you got to use comprehension, getting the spirit of what's being said. King David is very clear. He ain't talking about no entity right here. He talking about something from God. Let's go into the Apocrypha. I don't know if you got your Apocrypha or not, Joe. We're going to go to 2 Ezra 14 and 22.
2 Ezra?
Yes, 14 and 22.
Yes, sir. Second Ezra 14:32. Second Ezra's 14 and 22. But if I found grace before thee, send the Holy Ghost into me, and I shall write all that has been done in the world since the beginning, which were written in thy law, that man may find thy path, and that they which live in the latter days may live. Oh, wow.
See? What did he say? Send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gave him the Spirit truth. He said, so I can write all the things that's in the Word, in the law, that man may live. So he just, that's what he just prayed for, the Spirit of truth. Just like I said, the Comforter, the Spirit said he's going to give you what? The Spirit of truth. That's what he's asking for right there. The Apocrypha is before the New Testament, people. So they're before the New Testament. Here goes another prophet saying there's a holy, they understood the Holy Spirit. We got two more scriptures, because now it's going to straight up tell you what the Holy Spirit is. Let's go on to Acts chapter 1 and 6. Acts 1 and 6.
Acts chapter 1 and 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom again to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which is in the Father have put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Now stop. See, he just told you eight what it is. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is coming. It's a power. You're going to receive power. It is the power of God in Christ. You're going to receive this power. It's not a person. It is a power. Last scripture. Let's go into Luke 24 and 45.
Luke what again?
24 and 45.
Luke 24 and 45. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus behooves Christ to suffer and to rise and to raise from the dead and to rise from the dead the third day. Forgive me. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are my witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endowed with the power from on high.
Okay, you're going to be endowed with an entity. No.
He's talking about
power.
Presence.
Power from on high. You're not waiting for a person. You're waiting for power from on high. So with that, people, I hope you got some understanding that the Holy Spirit is not an entity. You can't find no evidence of him doing anything in the scriptures. Everything is done by God, Christ, angels, and the servants of God. There's no description of him in the Bible. There's a description of all spiritual things in the Bible except for him. So, people, hope you got some understanding. I'm going to hand things over to Brother Job, Sister Rhea, and I thank you for your time.
Amen. Amen. Solid, 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 solid. Look,
yeah,
brothers, you were talking about the Holy Ghost. I gotta be in 100% agreement. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God. That's what it is. It's His presence. And what came to me was this in Revelation chapter 3 and 20. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father at his throne. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches." Once again, he wanted to come in. He wanted to come in. You know, and when you sit up and you look at the whole operation of the tabernacle, the tabernacle represented a body. It represented a flesh and blood body. And what did Christ do? What did the Spirit do? It came into the most holy place, which represented your mind. And that's where he dwelt there. And right there was written in your mind was two tables of stone, which represented your left and your right brain. And there, that's where God talked to you at. That's where he talked to you at. And right there from the mercy seat, right there with the Holy Spirit and the cherubim, that everything that this brother was explaining, he said, right there, that's where I'm going to meet you. You know, so rock solid, Jack. I love this, man. Amen. Amen to this on so many levels. Great lesson, bro. Big up.
Thank you. Any more questions, comments, testimonies, anything anyone wants to add?
Well, if no, I just want to say this, you know, once again, to me, because many, many, many times, man, this hasn't been explained. You know, we just look at the Word of God as the Holy Ghost or the presence, but you see here that it's an actual presence of Him that descended from heaven that dwell inside of you if you allow Him. And then He told you this. He said, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which God dwelleth in?" So we got to be real conscious of that, man. Great precept, bro. Great lesson. I'm clear. So, you know, but what else can you say, man? I mean, that's a solid piece. No, he's not. He did not say that the brethren wasn't the Holy Ghost. He clearly showed that they in operation. But when it comes to stepping inside of you, that's God in Christ. That we what? That we become one. That we become one. That's that thing. And yeah, you do get an angel. And yeah, he said, their angels always behold the Father. You get you a brother. You know, once again, you know, Jacob saw his, Moses saw his, Abraham. Did he see his? I don't think Abraham did see his. Well, no, he seen two of them. I don't think he seen his. Yes, he did. He sure did, because when he talked concept of sacrifice, the spirit moved through his sacrifice. He saw the flame of it, and it moved and inspected his sacrifice that he had made. He had chopped it up and put it before God, and the spirit came down and moved through it. So he saw his. Jacob saw his. He wrestled with him. You know, Daniel definitely saw his, and he saw Gabriel. I mean, no, he saw Michael. He saw Gabriel and Michael. And Ezekiel was filled with it. And, of course, he saw the brethren, too. So, yeah, man, this is a deep set, man.
So that feeling, well, when I think that I feel the Holy Spirit, sometimes I feel like I'm in a trance when I'm laying down, or especially at night when I'm sleeping, and I wake up and I feel like I'm in a trance, and I see and I hear the Spirit speaking to me clearly. Like scriptures are just flowing through my mind. All these scriptures start going through my mind, and then, oh my God, it's like it feels like I'm being purged. Like this fire in me. I can't move. I can't describe what you do. I can't move. I don't want to be touched. It's like. Never mind, because it's a trip. It's a trip.
Well, that's your relationship.
Yeah, it's a trip.
And it's hard to get that across. But Christ told us, he said, no, man, in order for you to receive, you have to be at peace anyway. So 9 times out of 10, it will only make sense that, you know, you still and it's quiet.
Yeah, but I feel like I'm on fire.
Well, you didn't say it was going to be cool.
Like a synergy, like shooting up and down my.
I don't know. I don't know about all that. All I know is that he's a flame of fire.
And it's like I have visions in my head, and all these scriptures start flowing through my head, and he's showing me things. So he does open up your understanding. And it's not like you know how they say it's spirit, it goes your angels. It's actually the Jesus.
It's him. Because remember how, he talked to Moses through the Spirit.
Right.
And he spoke to Moses. He spoke to Jacob on the ladder. And Jacob saw the angels going up and down, but he said he saw God. And God spoke to him. You know, and then the same thing with Isaac, and then the same thing with John. John heard the Spirit. You know, so.
I couldn't Elijah or Elisha could see spirits.
Remember, no, say again.
There's more with us. Then Elisha could do it too. Remember, he said there'd be more to be with us than be with them. Remember, he focused that young man so he could see the angels?
Yes. Elisha was able to see
them. Yep.
And wait a minute. It's a beautiful passage. It always get away from me. Let me see if I can find it right quick. Because this would change my whole mind on how God actually addressed you. Because for years, I thought that, I thought that God, you know, he would be like, "Thus saith the Lord," you know, and stuff like that. And when he be talking to us, man, and that's not the case. He's not like that. Let me see if I can find it. This script always escaped me, but let's see if I can find it. I know it's the Kings. When you speak of Elijah, then we start talking about the same thing. Okay, right. 1 Kings chapter 19 and 12. He said, and this is the Lord, he said, and he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind rent the mountain and break it in pieces and rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after that, the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after that earthquake, fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" So, you know, sometimes you got to be quiet to him. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is.
Thank you. We got to
share.
Thank you. We got to share.
Amen. So, bro, you got any closing comments before we wrap it up?
No, just so people get understanding. Like I'm saying, this is a doctrine out there. And like I'm saying, we're supposed to be defenders of the truth. And like I'm saying, there's already a defense in the Bible to show you that if you read the scriptures correctly and break things down correctly, that there is only God in Christ. You should not be trying to worship anything else. Be careful, because you could be praising another. You're praising another God if you try to add someone else to this equation. They said they are one. So when it says Father, God, it says the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is, I'm saying, is the power that they possess. It's also the agreement in the Word. They agree on the law. He says it's also the agreement between them that unites them. So we got to understand that power, because the Word is also part of the Holy Spirit, because this is the only thing that gets us to understand God and Christ on earth today. So, like I said, I hope people got understanding that it's not an entity. There's no evidence of it. There's no description of it in the scriptures. And with that, I hand things back over to Brother Joe, Sister Rhea.
We appreciate that, brother.
Yeah.
That being said, we're going to just say, hey, be here tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock p.m. for the Spirit of Meekness Bible Study class, Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study class with Isaiah Brown, and that's at 8 o'clock p.m. And we want to be here for that. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify tomorrow. As we say here at the Sound of the Living Water, do what?
Read your Bible.
Amen. So, with that being said, we thank you for your time, and we'll see you again tomorrow. Great job, brother.
Lord willing.
Great job.
Great job reading, brother. Great job of reading, too. Thanks for reading.
Amen.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.